This is The Takeaway. I'm Todd Zwillick. Thank you so much for listening.
I'm asking you, why not investigate something that is the biggest scandal in American electoral history? 3 to 5 million people voting illegally?
We'll see where we go from here. But right now, the focus that the president has is on putting Americans back to work. It was a comment that he made on a longstanding belief.
That was White House Press Secretary Sean Spicer dancing around a reporter's question back in January of this year, after the president alleged to the public on Twitter and in private on several different occasions to lawmakers that 3 to 5 million people had voted illegally in the 2016 elections, and that that was the reason why he lost the popular vote to Hillary Clinton. There's no evidence for any of this. Nevertheless, in May, President Trump established the Presidential Advisory Commission on Election Integrity. One of the leaders of that commission is former Kansas Secretary of State Chris Kobach. He sent a letter to all 50 states and the District of Columbia asking for a range of voter information. That included birth dates, felony conviction records, and the last four digits of Social Security numbers of voters. The response from states red and blue has not been positive. On Friday, more than 20 states were unwilling to fully or partially comply with that information request from the White House. Denise Merrill is Secretary of State in Connecticut, and John Houston is Secretary of State in Ohio. Both of these states have said that they would provide limited information to the White House Voter Commission, despite refusals from other states, and they both join me now. Denise Merrill, John Houston, welcome to you both.
Thanks.
Great to be with you.
Denise Merrill in Connecticut, let me start with you. Is there any evidence of widespread voter fraud in your state?
No, I use that advisedly because you say widespread. Do we have occasional complaints and examples? Yes, we do. And they are prosecuted. And we have had occasional situations where it was actually proven, but it's very, very rare.
So in this case, did I have the list right from the White House of what they asked for? Social Security digits, birth dates, felony records. Is that what they asked for? And what did you agree to send?
Well, I haven't agreed to send anything yet. Yes, they asked for a very broad list of things. And I think the reason you've seen this buzzsaw of protest from the secretaries is that it is a very broad list. And there are various rules in different states about what exactly is publicly available. And actually, the public has yet to understand that any of this is public. And I have had a storm of protest from my constituents about not sending any of their private data to anyone. So I think it's a confluence of things that have happened here. And the commission just sort of stepped into it.
So in that case, Denise Merrill, does that mean that you are willing to send information that's already publicly available?
Well, I'm not sure. It's a complicated question. We have certain protected classes of people. For example, we have a program called Safe at Home, where data, even if they're on the voter list, victims of domestic violence are protected. I don't have the confidence that this commission, whose authority I question, frankly, to get this information, I'm not sure I'm going to release anything until I'm sure that it could be protected. And so I'm still under legal advisement on this question.
John Houston, you're there in Ohio. Is there evidence that voter fraud is widespread in your state?
I say this about voter fraud in Ohio. It exists. It's rare. And we catch people. We hold them accountable. We conduct, after every general election, a report on voter suppression and voter fraud. We found a few thousand cases over the course of 6 years of voter irregularities, including non-citizens on the voter rolls, non-citizens who voted, people who've attempted to vote multiple times, people who voted in Ohio and other states. But this is out of, you know, millions and millions of voters. And so, you know, we have voter fraud, but we have a pretty good system to catch people and we prosecute them.
Well, John, are you hearing similar concerns from Ohioans that Denise is hearing in Connecticut about the broadness of this request? And what have you agreed to send?
Well, looking at the letter right now from the Presidential Commission, and it asks for publicly available information. And Denise's point was made, well made, is that different states have different laws on what's public information. And in Ohio, most of your voting records are public information. The media can request them. Campaigns can request them. Local activists could request this information. What we will not provide, because it's not public information, is the last four of your Social Security number or your driver's license number. But I think one of the, you know, a lack of familiarity with how our voting systems work and the fact that they're all different in 50 states is a component for confusion and perhaps a little bit of unease about this, because in most places, a lot of this information is already publicly available. You could go to our website today and find most of it.
John, claims of voter fraud or the danger of it have been used to justify voter ID laws and voter restrictions in GOP-led states all over the country in the last few years. We've seen rulings in several states, including North Carolina in particular, where a court struck down voter ID laws, saying they were designed with almost surgical precision to discourage minorities from voting. If there's no evidence of problematic or widespread voter fraud in your state, are you worried about participating in an exercise that's veiled disenfranchisement?
Well, look, how much voter fraud should one tolerate? Because it does exist. The question is, should you put up an unreasonable barrier? And what the definition of unreasonable is where this debate, I think, differs from state to state. So I think building a system of ID or identification process that builds confidence in our voting system is great, but we shouldn't do something that becomes a barrier to access for people. It's finding that middle ground, which I believe we've done in Ohio, and we have not gone for a more restrictive voter ID law, which has occurred in other states.
Denise Merrill, you're in Connecticut, but one of your counterparts in Mississippi named Delbert Hoseman, the Secretary of State there, urged this White House Voter Fraud Commission to go jump in the Gulf of Mexico. Those were his words about this request. Do you have some sympathy for that? And why would somebody situated like you in a state like Mississippi or anywhere else feel that way about this request from Chris Kobach and the Voter Commission?
Well, I think you're hearing it from both John and I that secretaries of state feel they are responsible for free and fair elections in their respective states. And federal interference in elections is a very serious thing. And that's why I think you've seen the reaction you've seen. It's a separation of powers question. And so whenever you get any kind of federal request or interference or something that looks like they're trying to create some sort of centralized federal list, you're going to get a lot of pushback from the states.
And Denise, at the same time, we heard from testimony in front of Senate committees over the last few weeks that more than 20 states, 25 states were the targets of hacking during the election that may have been led by Russian intelligence forces. First of all, is Connecticut one of them? And is that a concern that you think is more pressing than voter fraud in your state?
Yeah, absolutely. And when you talk about the attacks on voting systems, it's the voter lists you're talking about. That's the only thing that's online, because all of the voting systems themselves, if you call it that, the vote tallying machines are not online anywhere in the country. So whenever you're talking about hacking, you're talking about hacking into the voter rolls. And yes, there is strong evidence that foreign countries and others, all kinds of people, were trying to get through our firewalls in all our states. Now, none of it really worked, except I think in two states, Arizona and Illinois, they did breach the firewalls. There's no evidence whatsoever that anything was changed. But the interference in our elections is a very serious matter. And yes, I do think that's a much more pressing matter. And I wish this commission would take that on as a charge rather than trying to find fraud that is pretty much already being dealt with, as you heard from both of us, in our respective states. And I think that's pretty typical across the country.
John Husted, what about you? Was Ohio a target of the hacking that we've heard reported in the Senate committees? And was any information breached?
Our systems in Ohio were not touched by any of the hacking incidents. We were in daily contact with Homeland Security, the FBI, our National Guard cybersecurity unit to make sure that our system, it was in good a shape as it possibly could be. We did not have any issues, but in the letter, the Presidential Commission is asking for our ideas on how we can improve our system of elections in the country, and I will come back with ideas to them. First off, many states, many places in many states are in need of new machines. Machines and our computer technology, the newer it is, the less vulnerable it is to hacking. So if the federal government would like to provide some resources to the states so that they could update their technology, that would be a helpful thing. But I don't want federal intervention in the state's elections, and that's why I will provide only what's publicly available. We don't want the federal government any more involved in our elections than they already are.
At the same time, there's a bottom line here, John, and Denise, I'll ask you this too, that I wonder if it's come up for discussion on your staff. There seems to be a risk here that you're being asked to spend your time and your state's money on an effort born almost entirely from one of the president's false claims, that claim that 3 to 5 million people voted illegally, and that's why he lost the popular vote. That is the genesis of this entire commission, is it not? Is that a concern that you have, John?
Well, I think, you know, when you ask for people to look into something like this, sometimes you might not like the answer that you get. And this is not going to take any extra time for us, because literally everything they ask for is already available right on our website. We'll just direct them to where they need to go to get it. But a lot of times on the political right or the political left, there's a narrative about what happens in elections that harms their particular cause. And I think a lot of times the facts don't support either of those worldviews. And I think in this case that the facts will show that, yes, voter fraud exists. It's rare. And most states, if not every state, has a process in place to try to prevent it.
Denise Merrill?
Well, just the fact that we're spending so much time on this shows you that it's very overemphasized, would be a polite word for it. It's really, in my view, a witch hunt. And, you know, so you happen to be talking here to two people who have, I think, appropriate ID laws in their states. Mine is very similar to the one in Ohio, where there's a variety of things you can use to identify yourself. But very clearly, these barriers are being put up for specific purposes. And that's what worries me. It's not that it's not reasonable to ask whether we can find and root out fraud where it exists. I think we're already doing that, frankly. But the extent of this is the problem. I think this commission ought to refocus on the real threat, which I really think is to our new cyber systems. And yes, I totally agree with John. We need more resources. The states are short when it comes to having systems that are able to withstand some of these cyber attacks, and they're going to continue. This time, we've been good. We've been working with DHS. We've been working with the FBI, and so have most of the other states who are under question. So let's talk about what really is a problem and get moving on that.
Two states dealing with requests for voter information from the White House Voter Fraud Commission, Denise Merrill, Secretary of State in Connecticut, and John Husted, Secretary of State in Ohio. Thanks to you both.
Thank you.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.